Good afternoon. As we indicated, we are talking in Vedas Bay this afternoon. A lot has been in the press about it recently, and it struck my attention once again that here is a project and there are all kinds of arguments on all sides of it, law cases being fought out and so on, investors coming into it, and my good friend Afra Raymond in the center of it all, also the JCC, the Joint Consultative Committee Council, is it? Council, of which Afra was president at one point in time, and that's another story. But we are focused here this afternoon because why I'm doing this program and why I said it to Derek Chin and Afra Raymond is that I don't think that the public, you outside there, know sufficiently about this project, because the time is coming, the time is here when people have to know about their interests. It cannot be a matter of investors, of commentators, of governments, of courts and so on, arguing these matters amongst themselves, and you, the public, the shareholders in any enterprise in Trinidad and Tobago, you are not fully informed about it. So this afternoon, as I indicated, I have Afra Raymond. Afra needs no introduction. Welcome to the program, Afra.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you, listeners.
And Derek Chin, a kind of silent investor who only surfaces every now and again. Of course, Derek Chin is known for Movie Town, and he has been the investor in that. He goes back again. I know some things about him that he doesn't know that I know about him. You know, horse racing man, well, I think that is public. He was a decent tennis player at one time in his life also. So we've come here and we want to talk about the history of this project, really. Okay, so we are talking about an area. Part of it is reclaimed land. Part of it was an environmental protected area at one point in time. I remember 20, 25 years ago when there was the Mecca down there and there was Mecca noise about it. And that enterprise ended. I'm not too sure about the details of why it ended, but it ended. And then comes a Movie Town. And now we are moving on from Movie Town to a brand new area, as it were. And Derek Chin has been there from the start. So let me ask you, Derek, give us a sense of what transpired. There was this land there, land obviously owned by the state. What transpired out of it?
Well, Tony, good afternoon, all listeners. Yes, the project, which was eventually called Streets of the World, but I'll probably go back to the time when we first started with Movie Town back in 2003, where we started, first of all, negotiations with the port regarding the lands that were owned by Mr. Monroe, which was referred to as the Mecca. And due to a number of circumstances with his tenancy and so on and so forth, I was led to that particular area because at that time I had the idea of doing a Movie Town, a cinemaplex, and of course getting the proper location was always the challenge. But to make a long story short, we started eventually, we got through with not the Mecca, but the lands in which we are now, because basically the port felt that was the only piece, meaning the Mecca, that they could actually move to the west if they had to develop it into anything like containerization or what they're using it for now, storage of cars and stuff like that. So we eventually got through after a long negotiation for where we are today. That was on 10.5 acres of land. We started and we built the Movie Town, and of course the story of Movie Town is a very nice story. It has become a great success, an icon in Trinidad, something that has become now very international, regional and international, and we are building Movie Towns in the region, Guyana, potential for St. Lucia, St. Vincent, Jamaica, and in Toronto. During that period of time, you know, I realized that Movie Town had become so popular, and I started thinking along the lines about what would be the sort of a future for this particular development. And right next to me, of course, I was facing 70 acres of reclaimed land that had been developed since 1998. And to me, it was really a sort of worry that, you know, here's all this land and we are fighting for a car park to even do something with the lands as we had done with the park.
And locate the land for our listeners who may not know.
Okay, it's behind Movie Town.
Behind Movie Town.
Towards the sea.
So it's south of Movie Town.
Yeah, south of Movie Town, correct. And approximately
right now it's a kind of car park. That's a little bit something.
Right now, it's a better word. It becomes a jungle.
Yes.
There are major problems with it, which I'll explain later regarding when you have unkept lands.
So, in terms of location, we are talking about an area south of where Movie Town exists now, on reclaimed land.
Correct.
Good. Go ahead.
So, looking at it and trying to think of ideas, I came up with an idea which actually went back.
And sorry, before you go on, this is state-owned lands.
State-owned lands. Right. It was, first of all, vested with the port, and then by cabinet note, I think it was transferred over to Udicott. And the time, I think, Calder Hart was the chairman then. But I had this idea, and I started to think, what would be an ideal, you know, sort of expansion for Movie Town into the future? Because after a while, on our particular area, you know, there's so much I can do. Actually, we've maxed it. And the demand keeps be growing every year. So anybody in my position would have said, yeah, I will look, you're sitting behind with 70 acres of land available, nothing built on it, no plans particularly had been solidified in anybody's mind. So I started thinking, what could really benefit this country and what could also benefit the project, meaning Movie Town? And I know for many years, we always talked about tourism, you know, and they talk about beaches and sun and sand, and I always felt that that was the wrong way to go. Trinidad doesn't have the type of infrastructure, meaning beaches and sand and that sort of thing, to really make it their destination. When you have a mere 15, 20 minutes, a half an hour away, Barbados, Grenada, and islands really with beautiful, beautiful beaches and things that we can't compete against. So I felt that maybe an idea of developing what we are best at, what will make us a destination, and I felt the carnival, for which we are good at. You know, we are good party people, we have great steel bandsmen and a lot of talent in that area. And I said, maybe I should develop something that makes the island a destination for what it's best at, and that's the carnival. So I called up people like Wayne Barclay, the deceased, McFarlane, and a lot of these fellas, and we started to massage an idea. And came up with something was called at that time, this is around 2008, something called the Gateway Project, which was to really take the concept and develop it into an attraction that showcases what we are good at, which is carnival. So you would have had, you know, a development on steel band, you know, a proper showcasing.
All right, Derek, I don't want to stop you.
Okay.
We're going to go in a little bit later on the detail of the program. But tell us, how did you come? Let's assume that you have all the packages and so on in readiness. How did you come to now make an effort to acquire the lands? Okay. In some form, whether it's a lease, whether it's ownership, whatever.
Okay, so we went to, I was lobbying, and at that time it was Mr. Manning who was the Prime Minister. And I met him twice, and I did bring my team at the offices in St. Clair to present to him this Gateway project, which was basically what I was trying to explain, and I'll go in detail a little later. And he gave me the green light. He said, that's a beautiful project, and I love it, and Derek, you have an open door. Start to progress. During that time, however, there was a controversy over Napa with Mr. Rowley, and there was a big... In that same meeting, I was interrupted. The meetings actually abruptly ended because Mr. Rowley was making a claim about the hotel. He didn't know anything about the hotel,
Napa,
and so on. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Manning just basically said, okay, you continue, but I can't continue any longer. And I don't think I could really see the presentation.
Right.
Of course, as time progressed, there was the controversy, the elections, and the change of government to the PP government in 2010. Mm-hmm. So, of course, I mean,
So before the Manning government went out, did you make a formal proposal?
I made the presentation verbally at his office.
But there was not a formal proposal coming
up for
the government to agree or disagree with?
No.
So then came the People's Partnership government.
I'm trying to remember if there was a proposal in terms of the drawings and the ideas. It may have happened.
But no formal,
concrete. Other than this is a project
I'd
love to
get. So come blessings. The PP government into power. Did you make a formal proposal?
Yes. The PP government now, when it came, I continued again to make presentations in terms of meeting members of the cabinet and doing what I always do is the lobby. And at the end of the day, they said, well, a lovely project. You know, everybody was, I think about 20-something members I met. But they said it's kind of, in order to be transparent, you just couldn't just say, well, Derrickson, great, here's land, go ahead and build. So they said, what happens, what we will do is we'll go and do an RFP and invite as many people as possible.
What's an RFP?
We call a request for a proposal.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to participate, this will come out at whatever time. I had no idea when that would happen after doing the presentations. And it did happen. And they sent out a proposal requesting ideas. What do you think we should do with Invaders Bay? And there were 10 submissions. At the end of the day, my proposal was very unique, as you can well be, compared to a condominium development, a shopping mall, a hospital. These are some of the proposals, including one from Malaysia called the Oyster Pond or Oyster Something Project. They said $5 billion. So I said, well, good luck, because the persons involved were questionable. So the proposals came, they evaluated, and I was told that I was one of the top two, or if not the first one. And I said, oh, great. And I got a letter that basically said that.
Letter from the government.
Government, yes. Mm-hmm. Maybe the Minister of Planning.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure. And then the next phase was, okay, well, you need now to start the process of how to get land. What kind of rearrangement, what kind of lease? The government doesn't sell state land, they lease land. But it's 30 years, which is the norm, or 60 years, which is what I was asking for, because 630 was a little tight, especially the size of the investment. So we got into a process of many different boards they assigned to take the lead role. You know, boards led by Zach Driver and I think Franco Su Chung and the guy who runs the hotel, the one in St. Anne's. He was also a chairman of the TDC, I think. And I met all these people on many occasions making proposals, and I was represented by Ernst & Young, who I think is a very reputable company, and they would have all the so-called the numbers and whether this thing can work, what we could afford and how this thing could be feasible. And it went through a process for 3 to 4 years, nothing happening, frustration, and then of course I was continuing to develop my businesses, you know, so it was a part of a project, but it wasn't the whole focus of my attention. And it just continued that way.
And so was there ever any time that you came to an agreement with the authorities and said...
They came near the last year to some sort of a lease, mm-hmm. where they had Pricewaterhouse representing the government, mm-hmm. Dr. Botawari was the minister then, and myself with Ernst & Young and J.D. Salium, trying to come to some sort of lease. What kind of price you're looking at, and so on and so forth. And right up to the end, again, nothing happened. No money ever passed. We were not able to make an agreement. The price, they wanted to charge me for 10 acres. It went from 30 acres to 10 acres. I said, I'll still do it. You know, I think it's really something great for the country.
So as far as you're concerned, no agreement has been signed.
No, we just had a draft. We had an MOU.
Right. No land has been leased.
Nothing at all.
Nothing at all. All right, let me bring in Afra at this point in time. So Afra comes in... Let me anticipate you. You've heard Derek Chin's recounting of the events. You have any problem with it?
Well, I mean, it's not a question of having a problem. Let me just be clear. We never had a problem with Derek Chin. I have never had a problem. The organization I represented, which was the JCC, we never had a problem with Derek. The people sitting at the table were people who participated in and leaders of the development industry. So we couldn't possibly conceptually or realistically have a problem with development. So let's just get that elephant out of the room. Mm-hmm. It never existed. Our position was always that if there is to be large-scale development in our country, it has to take place in accordance with proper procedure and take place in accordance with the law and take place transparently. We don't want surprises. We want our development of our country to take place in an open and a transparent fashion. And we did not feel that was taking place in relation to the Invaders Bay project that Mr. Chin just outlined. He gave us a side of his story. I learned a lot from it. I thank him for it. But we did not feel, and I maintain those feelings, we did not feel that was happening in relation to that project. And I'll say it again, our criticisms, and some of which I will recount here, our criticisms were really directed at the high public officials who were managing the process, and the leader in that process was Dr. Tiwari, who was the minister running the project, mm-hmm. yes? Mm-hmm. And he was part of the People's Partnership Cabinet, and the criticisms were directed against the way the thing was being handled as a question of good public administration.
So for public clear. for public information, your intervention had to do with the process being adopted to lease or sell or whatever this land would be.
That's correct.
And therefore, you intervened at one point in time, as I remember, to get some additional information from the government. And you went to court for that. And on two occasions, the High Court and the Appeal Court ruled that the information should be made public.
That is correct, yeah.
Right.
Now, let me just outline in a little more detail, Tony, and for the listeners, and just so we can understand where we were. We felt, for example, that the period to develop the proposals, because Dr. Tiwari's RFP gave people 5 weeks to develop proposals, we felt the period was really unrealistically short. That's a question for debate, of course. Derek, you have been working on it a long time before, so your view would be different necessarily from my view. The other thing is that, which is really tragic, is that the entire thing that took place down there, that RFP process, was an illegal process. And I'm saying so because the rules by which the proposals were evaluated, the evaluation rules were published a month after the closing date. Anybody listening to this program, those of you educated in law, those of you involved in tendering, even in private organizations, that is what is called voidable, which means it's a contract that you tear it up and you start again. If you were working in BP, you couldn't do that. You couldn't put a tender out and the tender rules come out after the close, and then BP themselves would fire you. How is that good enough for Trinidad and Tobago? So it's not good enough. The process that we have been discussing, and this is not meant to point a finger at Mr. Chin, because he's not in charge of the process. The process is being handled by the high officials we trusted them after an election and so on to handle certain parts of public affairs, and it was not being handled properly. So the tender rules were published after the closing date. Dr. Tiwari himself said so in Parliament on the 28th of February 2012. In addition, there's also...
So
the
just let me summarize because I want our listeners to understand clearly. What Afro Raymond is saying is that the process adopted to lease or sell or whatever the land, in his mind, the process was against transparency and the best possibilities. In fact, he's saying that the rules came out after the process had been tendered, right?
After it was closed.
After the process was tendered. Yeah. But Derek, you have anything to say to that?
I don't think it was about the allocation of land or anything like that. It was about ideas. Remember, it wasn't a case of, they had made up their mind. They asked for ideas as to what would be some good projects for the development of Invaders Bay. So the time period of 2 months to me was ample. I mean, I may have had a slight advantage in the sense that, I was one lobbying.
You'd been talking about it for
5 years. So, and I'm right there next door to it. So,
and you can't be blamed for that.
No. I mean, if you said 2 months, 3 months, I didn't even know when it was coming out. I mean, I was flying actually, and I made a call from the airport to my architect. I said, listen, I read in the newspapers that the tender is out, or I just saw it. Go ahead and respond. Yeah. So he went ahead and, and for the month I was away, he put things together. By the time I came back, I think it had closed, and we had already known what we were doing, talking long distance. But it was about ideas. So even the ideas could have all been rejected, right? But as I said, at the end of the day, the 3 out of the 10 were selected.
But there's this thing called transparency, which I think is what AFRA is getting at.
Yes.
Notwithstanding the fact that 2 months and the ideas and so on, everybody must start from scratch.
Yes.
If you had an idea before, well, great for you. But right? That's your point of contention.
I think it's a little bit more than ideas, Derek, with respect, because the proposal issued by the Ministry of Planning and Economic Development at the end of August 2011 called for these proposals to design, build, and construct. The ministry did not ask for conceptual drawings or conceptual proposals. The ministry asked for design, finance, and construct. Now, that framework, that form of words, that framework, for those of us in the business, that framework speaks.
Well, I mean, if I would agree with you, I did put out one thing, it's an idea, said something along the lines of a movie town development. That was what they said.
Yes, yes, yes.
So if you want to say that was the guilt and in terms of the favoritism, well, so be it. But then it's a reference. It could be a reference to Walt Disney World, but it just happened that movie town was there physically.
Yeah.
It was doing well, and it was, for me, it was right next door. Mm-hmm. I see it every day.
Yes.
So that's why I continue to lobby to say, what would really be a great project for here if, in fact, I was given an opportunity.
Yes, yes.
And that's what happened. Now, they didn't go ahead and say, well, we're not going to, we're just going to accept your proposal, which I had presented to Manning and to the cabinet, the new cabinet. And they said, listen, you know, in order to be transparent, we will go out to this RFP. They designed it. They got involved with it. They put the word movie tongue in it. I didn't know anything about it. So I think I followed the rules based on what was published. If it is that they were faults and flaws, well, that's, I think, what Mr. Yomirima was trying to point out.
Sure. Yeah.
But it was not to be meant to be, to take it to the point of, you know, that type of scrutiny that caused the project to be so embroiled in controversy.
Did you have direct connections with the government of the day?
At the time, the PP government, yes. I knew most everybody, you know. Trinidad, I know on both sides. I've been around since the 1970s. I go all the way back to Francis Privat, and if you want to call those controversial people, you know, all the way through. And I've not been involved in any, I mean, of course, I've been tempted along the route. We all know what goes on.
Yeah.
But I have never, my name is never involved in that.
The suspicion is that you had an open door to the government of the day, which other persons who may have been interested did not have.
I would tend to differ because when I made the proposals, and I'm an entrepreneur, that's the trait that you have. You hustle and you make presentations. And I would take along Ernst & Young with me and my attorneys every time I made the presentation. So I would not be, if I was going too far one way, they would say, no, you can't go that route. So every meeting I had with the government was probably about 6 or 7 people came along with us. And I did the presentations because obviously it's something that I'm emotional about.
Yeah. Afro?
Yeah. I wanted to come back to this question about the project and some of the difficulties in process that we had. So the other difficulty was a question of planning. We have a parcel of land that is the largest single parcel of land for development in Port of Spain, in living memory. Mm-hmm. We have no planning. So understand this very well. This is not about Derek Chin. This is not about Jerry Joseph, the other person to whom land was approved under the partnership. This is not about the individuals or the proposals. This is about process. What kind of country could it be that you would have a large development on that scale taking place in a capital city? We're an educated country, we're a republic, there's a democracy, we just had elections, this party changed and that party, and the whole development taking place effectively behind closed doors. As I sit here today is the 7th of December 2016. As I sit here today, there's never been a public consultation on Invaders Bay. And I hope Camille Robinson-Regis, Madam Minister, I hope you are listening, because you've been minister for a year and there's never been a consultation on Invaders Bay. Dr. Tiwari, you know very well there's never been a consultation on Invaders Bay. And I'm making the point that it is unacceptable for the Ministry of Planning to be taking a lead on large-scale development in the capital city of our country without consultation and proper planning.
You said something earlier, Afro, which I want to contest. You said that 5 years, a short time for development. But if we are to go anywhere in the country, 5 years is a lifetime. Given that you know, the country is in a state now where the kind of project that Derek Chin and other people are talking about, those projects are badly needed, and we can't sit on it for 5 years.
Well, I want to come to that point, and I want to come to it in a timing, as you say. But I want to come to it right now.
But let me just one say something there. You know, you talk about planning, and I couldn't agree with you more.
Sure.
But that's what we inherited. That's what we are inheriting, unfortunately. You know, it's like coming after the horse bolt. Mm-hmm. You look at every project in Trinidad, most of them, in terms of urban development.
Yes,
so,
yes.
And you have to question, was there any planning involved? Did they take into consideration the traffic issues? Did they take into consideration? You see the other issue they had with the school in Maraval, where there was a big uproar about that. And it's case after case after case. So what do I do
It doesn't mean that we have to continue it.
You know, it's a situation where the whole development of the movie town and the future was done with people who have actually done the planning in Port of Spain, in terms of the architects we use, whether the government had the planning people and the visionary people to go to the next level. You know, I don't know. I've said, listen, here I see a piece of land 19 years old, Sidenang, we are congested at Movie Town. We want to do more things. We want to develop the country. We want to have employment. We want to create things that make us proud as a country. And we are not asking for government money. It's not a government project. This is another misinformation. Everybody thinks it's a $1 billion project that Derrickson got without tendering. It is nothing like that. Is a total misnomer. We came with the president of, listen, we want to develop. We saw the land. Well, how could we make it happen? Now, these things are happening for me all over the Caribbean. Yet my own country, I'm denied access to do things that are positive. I go to Guyana. I get land that is worth $15-16 million. I get it for half price as an incentive to develop. I'm now spending in Guyana $50 million.
This is another and Movie Town.
Yeah.
I heard about that.
Yeah. No, you should visit. It was only last week. The whole of the Republic Band had a trade fair, and it was a sellout crowd coming to see what we were doing.
Okay. Okay, gentlemen, we've come to the point. And remember what I say, I want clarification for our listeners.
Yes.
We've come to a point where Derrickson has articulated his position.
Yes.
That he made this proposal.
Sure.
Since the Manning era, the Kamala Prasad era came and nothing was signed and finished and so on. And then the present government has come into power.
Yes.
And as I understand it, the Prime Minister has said that he does not believe that proper procedure has transpired over the period of time, and we need to look at this project again. And I suppose that's the prerogative of any government, but you can't keep doing this all the time.
Okay,
Can
I just ask a question?
Sure.
A couple of questions, Tony, if I may. I know being interviewed, I'm supposed to answer questions, but I have a couple of questions. First of all, Derek, you mentioned about the land in Guyana.
Yes.
And the land was being given as an incentive, yep. The discount on the land price. Mm-hmm. I had a question. I'm just going to pose it as a question. Because we had written, when I was JCC president, we wrote to the Ministry of Planning and Sustainable Development, the PS. And she replied to us on the 31st of October, 2014. And she told us that your portion, the 10.2 acres that you were supposed to get, had been valued about $205 million, something like that, more or less. Mm-hmm. You're going to make me a liar for $1 million. And
amongst people who talk about it, hundreds of millions.
And
one is
you,
no
given, you gave a presentation to the media, you gave an interview to the media shortly after this present government was elected, Derek. I think it was in September 2015. You were referring to discussion you had with, I think, Paula Gopi School,
Gopi's
and
here, right?
You were optimistic about the project and so on. Yes. And in that interview, you said that you were getting the land for $130 million.
Well, that was the final sort
so
of
I'm point. Just trying to figure out how did we go from 205 to 130?
Well,
I'm just trying to
I don't
get
even know if that was an incentive, because you know you have to take into consideration things like
question.
Well, who's going to do an infrastructure? Mm-hmm. Who's paying that cost? Is the $130 million net of infrastructure, or I have to put infrastructure on top of that? There were issues again, as I said, we were back and forth between the two accounting firms.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going to spend that kind of money, how am I going to make money out of this project? You know, the cost of construction, and you're involved.
Yes.
On top of our land value of that level, $13 million an acre. If I put $1 billion on top of there, I mean, I had to go probably like the CN Tower in Toronto, because the density and the cost for the density would be so high.
Yes.
So I went back to Ernst and said, this thing could work. And they said, well, to a certain extent, we get in there. So we stopped at the 130 and said, well, maybe we could. But then I went to the Minister of Finance, Larry Hawaii. I said, Larry, listen, if I am spending $500 million to start and the land is $130 million, what are the concessions I would get? Could you give me maybe 50% of the investment of the land? So to make this, so these are the kind of things that were going on, and we were
normal business.
Yeah, negotiating. And again, I left it with the experts in business to advise me. Mm-hmm. And said, Mr. Chin, the 130 is a great buy. We can make money. You can put buildings there and you can rent them out. Because nobody's going to touch it. If for that, is the government going to do the museum? I thought the Ministry of Culture should get involved with me. Let's do a public park. You know,
but
things like that.
Let me ask now, in the interest of going forward,
sure.
Let me ask Afra, how do we go forward on this project? This is a project that everybody says is required by the country, the economic situation. We have to move away from the dependence on one sector of the economy. How do we move forward?
Okay, let me just answer you, because you talked earlier on, Tony, in very necessary terms about the fact that the country needs projects.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't keep holding back projects.
Yes.
With objections and so on and so on. And I want to put all that into context, please. I want to say that at this point, the lack of planning, the lack of consultation, and we've had a lot of discussion about some of the legal points which GCC was advancing and some of us continue to mention, we have no idea about what is the true economic impact of the proposals at that land. So if we're speaking and we're putting in the frame the question of the economic benefit to the country from this development proceeding, and this development could mean anybody. It could mean the combination of Derek Chin and Jerry Joseph. It could mean the new thing that Minister Imbert is now speaking about. It could mean other things. What is the economic impact of those things? What is the cost and the benefit? And we need to change
the
national...
What are the net benefits?
Correct.
Trinidad and
Tobago? We need to change the national conversation away from a conversation where we're merely talking about the number of square feet or the number of hotel rooms or the number of shops or whatever it is, and have a conversation that is engaging in real terms with the benefits of the country. What is the net earning of foreign exchange it will bring the country? What is the amount of employment it will give to the country within the construction cycle and within the operation cycle? I will talk more about that a little later, and those sorts of things, because we don't know, Tony. And the consolidation point is no small point. There have been proposals to develop for the last 6 to 7 years to redevelop King's Wharf in San Fernando. King's Wharf in San Fernando is waterfront valuable land in the city of San Fernando, and there have been extensive consultations about those lands, proposals. I've been invited to them, and the irony is, I've been invited to them by the public servants in the very said Ministry of Planning that either fail or refuse to keep any consultations about Invaders Bay.
So this is the irony. So your big point now is that there should be some form of national consultation on this matter.
Well, there should be some public consultation, yeah.
On this matter.
And we need to understand what the cost of the
But sometimes, you know, as you say, this everything has risks and there's benefit. And sometimes you get bogged down in the bureaucracy. I mean, when I was doing Bouvitang, everybody said, can't work, no way, close down in 6 months. And it's probably one of the nicer things that have happened in the country in the last 10 years, you know, in terms of all the things that we are bringing to the country.
We employ
a lot of people. We give
I agree with
planning to some extent, yes. But you don't make planning become the cog.
A millstone. And I agree with Afra, this is a vital piece of land. And in fact, this is why I'm doing the program today. This is a vital piece of land for development. And we need to move on. We've talked about it for 5-6 years. And we are still at the position that we were 6 years ago.
Right.
And my question is, how do we go forward?
Not only that, I mean, money doesn't sit down and wait in a bank and earn 2% unless I move on. Yeah. I have gone and spent the money I was going to spend there. I have noticed, if you say, let's start it over and to create jobs and construction, I mean, I have to go all, I can start all over again and find new money and new investors, reinvent itself. So the opportunity was lost. So the $500 million that you had put aside and got investors to be part of, and pretty sizable, well-known people, now it's like, I mean, well, we've gone to another island, we've gone to another country, and the benefits are lost because we get caught up in all this sort of bureaucracy and non-issues.
I am sure that, you know? I don't mind 5 years being taken for the project, but it must, at the end of the five-year period, something must have happened.
Yeah.
And that is my concern. We are desperately in need of projects.
Yes.
What are we going to do in this situation?
I want to say, Tony, that I insist, and for whatever it's worth, I'm an individual sitting here. I'm no longer president of an organization, but I insist as a national.
So you could say what you want to say.
No, not really. I could insist as a national that if we are doing development which involves an investment of public money or public land, that investment has to be conducted in to no less a standard than investments involving private money. Mr. Chin, with the greatest respect, you wouldn't borrow $500 million and sign your name against that and then invest it in a project if you weren't well and truly and properly satisfied before you spent any money on the project, before you laid any concrete in the ground, that you would have a net return. And I'm asking for no less for this country.
Yeah.
I'm saying, why should we invest our land? Because without the land, nothing happens.
That's right.
In 2012,
and
March,
the land was
worth $1.28 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
How much is it worth today? Why should we carve out a portion, whether it's 10 acres or 20 acres or 30 acres, and give it to anybody You're just one of the people who is a competitor, so to speak. Give it to anybody
so
in a situation where the country is not clear.
Yes.
So there's a net so positive return to the country.
I'm trying now.
That's the question.
I understand. But when you have projects like you have it, the Sandals project and the kind of benefits and raping that they do, raping the country to do all these things. Don't say something too loud. Okay. But you know, you look at these.
I didn't say that.
Put yourself in my position. And I'm looking at all the projects that so called getting green light and fast tracking. And have many lot of controversy.
No, this is very controversial where you're going there.
Shagaramas, same thing.
Shagaramas, you know, I wonder how come Shagaramas you have big
flag
problem
about Shagaramas. I mean, so put yourself in my position, Mr. Raymond. Yeah, put yourself in my afro. Put yourself in my position where I'm sitting back and saying, look at what I had to do. I'm fighting and I still have nothing. Spent $5 million on planning and presentations. Yeah. And I'm still fighting.
Yeah.
So for what? So what I do is I say, you know what? If Trinidad and Tobago doesn't appreciate what I'm doing, and they don't want me to, and they want to keep the land, I'll find other charities to do it.
Yes, yes.
And so be it. So who loses? Now, if it is a nice, clean, level playing field, right, I can understand. But it's not a level playing field, and all these things are going on around me. And I'm saying, well, how come nobody's waving a red flag and making noise but Invaders Bay is a big issue? Yes, planning is important. The people involved, and you know the Ministry of Planning, they have plans, and the architects we use who are the plans of this sports spin development for the future. Or by all means, get together and see how, if this is a synergy that could work. Mm-hmm. But for me, from my point of view as the entrepreneur, I'm saying they are missing the boat in terms of not only projects, but in terms of things that will bring tourists to Trinidad.
Okay.
And my project and the project that Streets of the World became addresses this issue.
Afra.
Okay, let me just respond to you. Planning is important because as a process, it gives us a process to reconcile the returns that an investor looking for return within a 10-year or 15-year horizon of financing. Reconcile what? Against the perspectives of city development, where we're looking to see where will the city be in 50 years' time. It gives you a way to reconcile those various interests. But if you do not indulge in the process of planning, you're never going to be able to reconcile. And you end up in a city like us. Let me give an example for listeners who may have a problem following some of this conceptually. Look at the Movie Town area. So we have Price Mart on one end, on the eastern end. Then we have the Movie Town building. We all know it. Then we have the car park. And then there's a park. And then there's Marriott. And there's a restaurant. And the steak people
energy.
And the BHP building
energy
behind. Now, why is it in that order? Let's think of a second. Why is it the hotel is not facing the sea and the office is facing the highway? How come the office is facing the highway and the hotel is facing the sea? Who planned that? Okay. And these are things that we're seeing in front of us. Where is the architecture and the urban planning and that making best use of the land and its amenity and its views? Where is that? And without planning, that is exactly the kind of mishmash, to use a polite word, that you end up with. And I don't want to be in a situation where a mishmash is unfolding and I'm silent. Therefore, I would continue to insist as an individual on a proper process of planning in our country. Yes, mistakes happen before, mishmash happen before, but we know better now, don't we? Well, let's do better.
But think about Derek Chin, the investor, businessman. He goes through the process as he has articulated, and it is not his business to be doing the planning. Mm-hmm. He has a proposal, and he's putting it on the table. He went through 5 years. He spent some money, he said, and so on and so on. How long should he wait? What is to happen? We could spend another 5 years. This government has come into power, and rightfully it said we have to look at the project again to ensure that the process is fair and so on and so on and so on. But how long is that to be taken? How long do we wait for some investment to get going, for jobs? And as Derek was outlining before the program, and I'm going to give him an opportunity to talk about the nature of the programs that he perceived and planned for. My question to you, Afra, and I'm coming back to it.
Mm-hmm.
What do we have to do now?
Okay. Well, the first thing we need to do, there are two perspectives I want to lay out here, answering your question, Tony. The first thing we have to do is to understand that we are in a different time. As I said in the closing of my last stanza, wrong things happened before, mishmash happened before, we educated, we supposedly know better. Well, let's do better. Let's make sure we don't do the same mistakes as before. What is a different approach? To begin with, We are on ahead now for about 50 or 60 years talking about diversifying the economy away from energy-based dependency. We wrote, and that we by we I mean JCC, we wrote 21st of October 2012, 4 years ago, to Minister Tiwari, telling him that that RFP process, the process he used to review the proposals from the various people, should have mandatory that any proposal being made to develop these lands must be a net earner of foreign exchange. If you can't satisfy that condition, you don't go any further. What that means, and that's something I would like to continue to pump here, although I'm no longer in the chair at JCC. What that means is that you have a situation where people putting forward proposals for development of public land have to put on a different thinking cap. The old business model of a shopping mall or a foreign franchise restaurant or those things that we are accustomed to seeing in Trinidad and Tobago that we call development, that old model simply will not fly. A bird with one wing can't fly.
We have one, a net foreign exchange earner. I want you to go through individual ones so we can get Derek to respond. Two.
Sure, Tony. The other one is this, is that local content. This is not about getting Derek to respond, Tony. I'm trying to answer you in terms of what needs to happen. And we need to be really clear about what has happened here. There were a set of proposals which were the ones that unfolded during the People's Partnership period that I would call A, over here, A. And one of them was Mr. Derek Chin with the little boutique hotel and the expansion, the streets of the world and the expansion to the shopping center, and so 10.2 acres. The other one was Mr. Jerry Joseph, Invaders Bay Marina Development Company, to build apartments and a gas station and a marina and some shops and a hotel. Those two proposals.
Really to service that other development.
Perhaps. I don't think they were in the same piece of land. I never really saw
any form. But I mean, logically.
Could have been. Yeah. But the point is that those two together happened under the partnership. They emerged under the partnership proposal. And you could call them A. B, over here now, we have a proposal, a large proposal that was put forward by Finance Minister Imbert on Friday, the 8th of April, 2016, when he gave the midterm budget review. And Minister Imbert told us, very important for those people listening, Minister Imbert told us that in fact there's going to be, this is in fact a PNM proposal under the current administration, an international financial center, a convention center, and a 5-star luxury hotel. I tried to get the details and I wasn't able to, but I understand that the 5-star luxury hotel is to be about 450 rooms, which would make it a huge hotel. Okay? Now, Minister Imbert went on in his next paragraph to start discussing the involvement of certain major Chinese banks. Correct? And it's pretty clear for those of us who could read and spell and see that Minister Imbert is telling us we're going to do this project and we're going to do it with these Chinese people because it's a foreign investor and so on. So this is pretty clear. I have raised the question whether that is in fact a government-to-government arrangement. Now that is B. It's also clear from some of the utterances of Mr. Chin, who appears to be frustrated, that perhaps the proposal he was doing with the partnership has been shelved, or it's not continuing within the current PNM administration. Let's distinguish the two things, because we need to understand what we're talking about. A, for all of its faults and the criticisms and so we had, Chin and Joseph were two local people. And if they were doing something, and they both of them had plans, if they were doing something, a large something, each of them, chances are, not everything, but chances are, most of the work would have gone to local people, local architects, local planners, local surveyors, local contractors, local engineers, tile men, roof men, plumbers, electricians. The alternative, which we call B, which Minister Imbert is doing, and they're promoting it, Mr. Ewart Williams is speaking about it, they're speaking a lot about it, and it looks like it's going to happen. B,
Chinese government-to-government bank.
And make sure you understand very clearly.
I don't know if Derek qualifies.
Don't try that. I've asked Mr. Imbert in the press, and I'll ask him again on the air, is this project that I am calling B, the new International Financial Center, is that project a government-to-government arrangement? Is an important question. Firstly, because if it's a government-to-government arrangement, it's outside of the new procurement law. which means that you can very well do as much as you want, as much favors as you want. And secondly, if it's a government-to-government arrangement with people from China, our track record in this country has shown when we enter that type of arrangement, there is next to no work for local people. Okay. There is no
All right.
money circulating in the economy. That's not a question for Derek Chin.
I hear you, Afra. And I'm going to ask Derek Chin to answer your first question, whether or not the project, as he has developed it, is going to be another movie tong, another set of malls, another set of American pictures, which we get little out of. And I'm not knocking the jobs that are there, but if it's going to be a net foreign exchange, you know. But hang on 1 second. But my point is, you see, I want to get you into the open to say,
sure,
we have to do these things. You have said two things so far. The third one is you're questioning what Imbert is proposing. What else do we have to do to get whichever project is right for the environment going? Because that is what has to happen. So you have mentioned we have to analyze it by way of it being a net foreign exchange earner and the local content. What else do we have to do?
The first condition I put, which you don't have on your list, is the question of planning and consultation.
Planning.
So please put that on.
So planning and consultation.
But that's my number one thing.
Okay.
People have to know what's happening. It's our capital city.
Absolutely. Derek Chin, how does your project line up against the criteria that have been set down?
Well, I don't think I have to say. No, everybody realizes that when it comes to the reason I did the project and came up with that idea was to create an alternative to the mistakes that previous governments have made regarding tourism. How do you get mass of people to come to your country? Right? What it is that we have good that we could sell, then people would want to come. And I felt that the carnival, and if you developed it properly as a showcase to the world, where we showed how the steel man went from a steel drum to a C-span, how our people like Sparrow and Kitchener, you know, Kitchener's dead, and many Calypsonians have passed away. What is the legacy left? There's nothing. What about Tantan and Sagaboy costumes? Wouldn't it be beautiful? You know, time does fly, and you thought like Midnight Robber was just around the corner, and I talked to the generation of kids today. They don't know what I'm talking about. So what about if we had a beautiful wax museum that showed the costumes and the steel band? You press a button and it shows a little video of what Sparrow and Kitchener and all these people, the band leaders, put them in wax. And you move to now to the section of sport, and you have Brian Lara. And again, a little bit of a background where you press the button. Who is Brian Lara? You know, he's in Madame Tussauds in England. He's not in Trinidad. Dwight York, Latapy, all these people who have come and made such an impact in our country, there's nothing for them. And then there's the street of Port of Spain, Frederick Street, as a thematic heritage street that people could see what old Trinidad used, Port of Spain used to be. So
what are we selling on Frederick Street?
So what we're selling is
not cloth.
No, you're going to be. You can go back to the Glendinnings and the Woolworths, and
but what's the content inside there? Because we don't need another cloth.
You know what? The most people ask me for movies today. Classic. They want to see Gone with the Wind. I say, what? You make me spend all this money for these expensive movies? They want to see Casablanca. So I'm doing it.
That is not a net foreign exchange.
But what I'm saying now is that when you create, and this is just a seed, because it's the aquarium. I mean, there's Sesame Street for the children. There's maybe a park for them, so on and so forth. So people are coming to Trinidad for Carnival. They're going to stay to come to the streets of the world, or they'll come because of Streets of the World. And we have an opportunity to showcase what we are about, create the sense of pride which is lacking in our country. The reason we have all these problems is people don't have pride in their country. The garbage and litter is all part of that. So it was meant to send a signal to the administration, let's start this project.
In your planning and assessment, and here's the direct question, have you and your accountants come up with a bottom line consideration? We are going to spend $1 billion here annually. How much of it is going to stay here?
There's a formula, but it's very difficult to predict. I mean, it depends how well the attraction is. If the government got involved with the museum development with us, you know, whether we can deliver what we want to deliver, and hopefully that will be a big attraction. The aquarium, you know, sponsored by who or whatever involvement to bring to show the turtles and the Caribbean sea life. So it was a development at Epcot. So you say, well, how did Disney do his numbers? He took a swamp in Orlando, created one park, two parks, three parks. He has a massive, massive foreign exchange issue. Not a foreign exchange issue. People come to Disney in great numbers every year, right?
The difference is that he has too long to get off.
But one of my point was, as an entrepreneur, we can only sort of believe in our vision and hope that it turns right. Right? I mean, I could have not done Movie Tongue either because everybody was negative. Yeah. It's going to not last 6 months.
What Afra is asking you is that in a national discussion, put forward your plans so that they are weighed against other plans which may come forward. Would you have a problem
with
that?
I don't have a problem. I mean, my point is I'm doing it because I'm a national. This country is my country. I live here. My business is here. My children are here. I got to make it work.
A quick response, Afra, before we go to the phone and invite our listeners to engage the talk.
Yeah, the real question is, are we going to be net earners of foreign exchange? Because, Tony, at the moment in the country, the way the whole economy is settled, if you take out the oil and gas industry, almost all of us are net consumers of foreign exchange.
The whole country living on due.
The point is this. No, let us put it out like a diagram in our classroom. If the next 10 things we build, the next 10 platforms we have for investment, whether it's factories or shopping or entertainment, if the next 10 platforms we have for investment, every one of those 10 platforms, we build them out by the same model, we're never going to get out of this problem.
Yeah.
Well, what we need to do when we have a decisive piece of land like Invaders Bay that is highly attractive, we need to use that opportunity to leverage a new set of possibilities, which is what I'm putting forward here. And this is what we put forward since October 2012. It's not a today thought.
The two things I want to mention One is, what does an IFC do? That's the first thing. Does it bring the foreign exchange? Does it bring the
good
people?
Question.
Or is a bunch of bankers and businessmen come and go?
Good question.
And a 400-room hotel. Who you think you can sustain that? We can't even sustain the Hyatt.
The Hilton.
Hilton. That's an example.
Why are you giving the
so-called green light for these projects? And it doesn't have to go through the scrutiny that Paul Streets of the World has gone through. Yeah. And I will tell you, I don't mind going back out, you know, and saying people, what are the ideas? Don't copy my idea, though. Make sure I don't copy
come with a new one.
But come with something to beat it. Yeah. If you can beat it, it's for the country's benefit. Yeah. I'm more than happy to step down.
Yeah. Gentlemen, this is where we're going to open up the lines after we take a break here. Sure. And I feel comfortable that one direction is saying that this investment is not going to wait around forever. You don't hold on to $500 million and wait forever until you invest it. And Afra Raymond is saying, but we have to plan for the thing and we have to ensure that what we are doing will not drain the little foreign exchange that we have, but rather make a solid contribution towards it. And he's advocating that we go forward if I hear him correctly, open up the project again, ensure that all of the transparency elements are in place and that people have an opportunity. And my own contention is that this can't take another 5 years, because if it takes another 5 years, the opportunity might go. Grenada or St. Vincent or so, Derek might carry his project.
I did send him the proposal again to Paula Gopi Schoon when the new government came in, and obviously respect. So, Paula, this is the situation, and I know I want them to call him first name. You know, it's a lovely project, and I think the country's been deprived of something like this. What you could do? You know what the response was? The project has so much controversy around it that I've sent it to the Ministry of Planning and let them handle it. And, of course, it died there. That was a year ago.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of, that's the sort of situation that I'm faced with now.
Let's hear what our listeners think. And welcome back. We are talking development at Invaders Bay. That is, if you like, at the end of Ryson Road, at the start of the Audrey Jeffers Highway, and south of where Movie Town is now. A lot of land. How much? I think I heard somebody say 70 acres.
70 acres
of reclaimed land in the back. And if Derek Chin is correct, that has been going on for 19 years now without anything. My concern in all of this, and we want to invite Chris, do the invitation. You're better than that.
So we invite your calls at 222-8255, 222-8255, and 612-8255. So if you want to join the discussion,
Now is your time. And as I said that,
we have somebody. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Jen. Have voted.
All right, you need to turn down the volume, please. Please. You need to turn down the volume.
Wow.
Move on to the next call.
Wow.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Mr. Chen, yep. It is very unfortunate when visionaries like you, who are willing to invest money, are normally stymied by organizations that is tagged with political ties. There are a number of organizations in this country who play the political game as to which party is in power. And by that, they stymied the growth. You look at the highway. You look at many other projects. And because people have the tendency to tie on to political party, which one is better than which, the country suffers as a whole. And I wish that you could probably take your money somewhere else, invest it, and get your happy returns, and forget these people. Thank you very much, my brother. Have a nice day.
Thank you, caller, for expressing your view. A measure of frustration there coming from the caller. We have another caller on the line. Good afternoon.
Hello, good evening, gentlemen. Yes. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Yes.
Good evening.
Good day.
Mr. Chen, I want to ask you a question and then make a comment. In Mecca, which was a cultural icon for Trinbagonians, did you say earlier that it was shut down because there was some issue with the landowners report?
Yes.
And
if
there was an issue, what the issue was, that is a question. And the comment is, Mr. Chen, I only think that if the government in power, if they don't...
Your dear caller?
Hello?
Seem to have lost the caller. So respond direct to the first question.
Yeah, the first discussions in terms of acquiring land for the Movie Town project, which is just a simple cinema, started at the Mecca, at the port. That was the only area that we felt was possible, mm-hmm. and was big enough. It was 5 acres of actually asphalted lands, you know, so it had a terra firma. It was owned, or the lease was the port and Mr. Monroe, who was involved in a lot of these types of ventures.
Mm-hmm. Cultural
and
ventures.
And apparently the leadership after 7 years was very bad. He had never paid rent, or if he did pay rent, he was behind in his rent. He had a lawsuit for a tent that they lost, the port, and used that as leverage against the rent.
Mm-hmm.
And there were...
Derek, just let me advise you to stay away from the details of
because... Okay,
I don't know if you paid rent or...
So there was a controversy regarding the relationship. And
you didn't make the determination.
No. So the offer was, listen, we can possibly give you a 30-year lease, but you needed to satisfy the situation with Mr. Monroe. So I went and negotiated with him for 2 years. And he had run into some problems. He had other shareholders, and they didn't see much hope in the Mecca continuing. At the time, it was really a bad place. You know, it was overrun with termites and pests and stuff like that. It was everything was deteriorating.
So the bottom line is that you picked up the contract.
So I picked it up and I negotiated with him, and he told me, okay, buy out his lease. And I went back to the port, and that's how it started.
Okay. All right. Good afternoon to you, caller. Hello. Good afternoon to you, caller. Something's going wrong there, Chris. Hello. Let's try again. Somehow we are losing the calls. We have one here. Good afternoon to you, caller. Okay. Let me ask you another part of the discussion.
You're there?
Good afternoon, caller. Hello. When we get that fixed. In the meantime, there's another element of this thing that we haven't talked about, and this is with regard to the court matter. So you took the matter to court with regard to getting information from the government, with regard to the advice given to the then government in terms of making information available. Fill in our listeners on that part of the issue.
Yeah, well, one of the problems that we had early on in the process is that we felt, and we being the JCC, felt that the procedure Minister Tiwari and his colleagues had embarked upon, that RFP proposal procedure, was being conducted in breach of the Central Tenders Board Act. And therefore, quite apart from any disagreement about development options,
right,
there was also the
question about process,
that in fact the law was being broken.
Okay.
We put a very pointed set of letters to Minister Tiwari, and he took legal advice. He told us he's going to get legal advice, which itself is very strange, because the minister getting legal advice after he'd embarked on the process and made his decisions and closed off the whole thing. So you're doing a process without him getting legal advice as to whether the thing is a sound process. When we put the question to him, he got legal advice. He comes back with the advice and says, the legal advice I have from this person and from that person says that what I'm doing is conformity with the law. And we said to him, great, can we have a copy of it? He refused to give us a copy, and that's how come the whole thing ended up going to court, because the two things make no sense. One of these things is not true. Politicians in this country, when they are in a controversy and they get a piece of advice that supports what it is they are doing, they publish it. Mm-hmm. Just to say that I was right and you were wrong. That's how
and
politics.
So you went to the High Court,
and the JCC was successful there on the 14th of July 2014, and the case proceeded because Minister Tiwari and his colleagues immediately appealed, and that case was successful again, majority ruling of the appeal court on the 28th of October 2016. So in fact, in both of the cases where the matter was before the courts and argued, and both sides had senior counsel in the appeal court matter, the courts found in favor of the disclosure of the information.
And the core of it is that the public has a right to know the information, the legal advice that was given to the ministry to proceed.
Absolutely.
And therefore, this government now seems to be suggesting, I don't know if they've filed anything yet, that they're going to the final court of appeal, i.e. the Privy Council.
They filed on the 21st of November, mm-hmm. applied for leave to go to the Privy Council. The JCC has consented to that, and I believe that they're going through the steps to put the matter before the Privy Council.
Okay. Let's go to the telephone line now. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Yes. I'm glad to hear your program. What Mr. Afariman is really talking about is proper planning of our country, proper laying out of areas and pieces of land in our country. For want of a simplistic set of words, our politicians and sometimes our drug dealers in this country seem to be land grabbing and playing with our future.
I hope you're not putting them together, are you?
I don't want to get us in trouble. I said, to simplify it, for want of a simplistic set of words, our politicians and drug dealers, they may not necessarily be quite different, tell you the truth.
If you want to continue along that line, I'm going to have to stop you. It is fine to put the and between them.
Okay,
right?
Sir.
But don't link them for me, please.
We'll forget about that.
Right.
All we have to do to see how improperly our city of Port of Spain or country is laid out is look at any town or city, Port of Spain, Arima, San Fernando, Tunapuna. We live in a country where the towns and the cities, look, Port of Spain, enough rain falls, we're under the sea level, we're flooded. To move around Port of Spain at midday, it is a nightmare, it is a personal hell. I spend 3 hours every day because of poor planning of our country.
So your important point here is that we need to plan. Yes? So your important point here is we need to plan. We need to move on and give everybody an opportunity.
Dubai in 82 decided that 90% hydrocarbons and 10% tourism was not good enough. Today they're running 90% tourism and 10% hydrocarbons. I would like Mr. Derek Chin to help us understand, what's your U.S. generation again? What's your tourism arrivals really projected to be, sir?
Okay, thank you very much. Derek, question to you. Same kind of question that we asked previously, net foreign exchange earner.
Well, obviously, in terms of the evaluation of the investment, I said we had the experts, meaning Ernst & Young, to do, and they created quite a few booklets of these sort of studies, which I've probably forgotten by now. But they're obviously an investment that really has returns, both in terms of the social fabric of the country to ensure that we raise it. And at the same time, the whole project was meant to earn money, to not only earn local, but also to attract regional and foreign visitors. And as you build, the same thing has happened to the projects we do, that the reason you have the Marriott Courtyard being one of the best is because it's next to Movie Town.
Yeah. And I'm sure that you realize as an investor, if your project does not earn foreign exchange, net foreign exchange, sooner or later, given the circumstances, we can't pray for oil to reach $120 again and gas to $10 and $12, yeah. So that you will be working against yourself if your project is not a net foreign exchange earner, meaning that sooner or later, we won't be able to afford it. Yeah. Good afternoon to you, caller.
Good afternoon.
Good day.
I've worked with Mr. Chin before, and I know he's a great visionary. Since 1997, he had discussed Movie Down. TNT only stands to benefit tremendously. Therefore, let's stop the politics and give Mr. Chin a chance. He has a track record with Movie Down. What more do we need? Do you realize what Mr. Chin's idea of a Streets of the World can do for TNT? Now that TNT economy needs a boost? Mr. Chin is blessed with talent, people. Allow him to share it. I am talking for the Streets of the World. Thank you.
Thank you very much, caller.
Thank you very much.
Good afternoon to you, caller.
Hi, good evening.
Yes.
Good evening.
Gentlemen, my concern is with that parcel of land, that's 70 acres, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that land was reclaimed by the Post Cotton Powder magazine. Right, because there was a plan for that development at Powder Magazine. Okay? So now, why is it that the state did not have a plan for this place called West of Movie Town or Southwest of Movie Town, rather than just reclaim it? Right? Why wasn't there a plan for that place and then now invite entrepreneurs to take part in that further development of that area? One. And number two, Mr. Chin, at Movie Town, right? I was involved in that project. Beaver Construction constructed that project, they mainly for you.
Yeah.
And the car park as it was, as you leave upstairs by Price Mart, the car park was an open area downstairs as an exit point.
Yes.
Over time, I've seen you all bring a lot of shops there.
Yes.
So when you leave up by Movie Town now, you come downstairs, it's very dismal.
Yes.
Right? One. Number two is on the west, north, southwestern side. Over time, you have a storage area there that a lot of the grease and so forth, it's automatically spilling over and finding its way into the water course out. What I'm speaking to is that where is the surveillance nationally after a project has been gotten final approval? Who keeps that surveillance to ensure that the project being has control that how much development could take place on that project and control and the maintenance and upkeep of that project. And number three, Mr. Fraser, I remember you putting something to Mr. Botiwari with regards to the convention center when he said people shortlisted to lease that project. Now these are public plans, right? And you ask him who were the people, and he refused to answer as to who were the people. And we as Trinidad and Tobago, we're not supposed to accept this kind of thing. Anything to do with public land, we must be consulted and must be done above board. Okay, gentlemen? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Derek, you want to respond to the matter directly with regard? You're going to get a chance moment.
Yeah, he's right. And when we built
this is under the
with Beaver under the maintenance and this sort of thing, it is dismal and certainly a lot of
lighting. A bit confusing of where to drive.
There's a development taking place hopefully in the future with Price Mart. They know that's their best store in Trinidad. I don't know if you know that. And parking is an issue for everybody. And like everything, businesses grow. You know, you try to do a 5-year plan, and then it just takes off within 2 years. So there's always this issue of trying to see how best we can manage and make it a little easier. And I'm quite concerned about those environmental issues. And we spend a lot of time and money trying to make sure that we have adequate for everything. And that's probably the reason why I'm talking about, the lands behind us, because I see what is going to happen in 5 years' time or even 3 years' time. You know, it's going to be a turn-off sometimes because you can't find parking, which is my biggest issue.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Afra?
Okay, I just wanted to address two small initial points the last call I made. The first thing is about the source of the land. The actual fill for that development came out of a dredging of the harbor. Okay, it wasn't the Powder Magazine thing. If Powder Magazine had any part of it, it was minor. And the second thing is that there was a plan. Let's make sure, let's talk about this thing about planning. We cannot hop, skip and jump around planning. It's a fundamental part of the discussion. I was involved, nearly 20 years ago, when Unicot was in the process of reclaiming those lands before any of this discussion was in the air. And there was a plan, I could remember, I saw it, it used to be in the wall of Mr. Kowalahat's office, to break up that block of land that we now know as Invaders Bay, the 70 acres block of land, into parcels that were to be 2 to 5 acres in size, to the 1.5 acres, 3 acres parcels of land. And the plan was, the conception was to have a kind of an office park down there. And to come into Port of Spain, this is urban development, I didn't agree with it, but it's what Hart and them were planning at the time. And the conception was to come into Port of Spain, and some of these offices, some of these major companies that are in the middle of Port of Spain, in the congested parts of Port of Spain, where they don't have enough parking and it's unpleasant and so on, to invite them to buy parcels of land down at Movie Town, so they could put their headquarters, whether it was Royal Bank or Republic Bank or whoever,
Street Campus now.
So. But I'm just making the point that there have been plans.
Yeah, but
over the 20 years, there have been plans. And the pity of it is that the plans don't often relate to each other and very seldom are transmitted to the public, because the one I saw 15 to 20 years ago in Kowalahat's office, it certainly never became public. I happen to know it.
We have a fixation with building car parks. But we have a caller on the line. Good afternoon to you. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead, please.
Good afternoon.
I'm supporting a vision for Trinidad and Tobago. It was created in employment. It would put Trinidad and Tobago on the map. It will make people have something to talk about Trinidad and Tobago. This is a positive plan, and I support you 100%. And I hope the government of Trinidad and Tobago can see this plan and see the vision that you have to make Trinidad and Tobago something positive to talk about.
Derek, you seem to have a lot of fans outside here. Good afternoon to you, caller.
Hello.
We have smart people.
Hello. Good afternoon to you.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Yes.
Good afternoon.
Yes. Well, firstly, I think that all credit due to Mr. Chin for his business ventures thus far. But with respect to public land, I think that I like what Mr. Raymond is putting forward, that he needs to put forward an idea and he needs to compete in order to have a fair play with other ideas, and see if his ideas wins out and is the best. Quite possibly it might be, but I think that the process by which it was afforded the last time with the Invisibility Project, it needs to have a little bit of competition with similar ideas and see which one is the best with regard to the benefit of Trinidad and Tobago.
Okay.
And secondly, mm-hmm. with respect to the legal issues, the last time the government went ahead and relied on the past government's legal advice with respect to Mr. Jones and the plans that they have there in Point Lisa. You know, people complain about it. So if this is that the government is being told by the UNC attorneys who employ them that they need to appeal this thing again, I see nothing wrong with it, and I believe that Mr. Riemann will be victorious again.
Okay. Thank you very much. You know, as we talk about that, Afra, my real problem with the, I don't have a problem with the government wanting to appeal, but you know what my problem is? It's that we have to go to Britain to ask a British court.
That's next week.
That's another story. You know, if we are going to the Caribbean Court of Justice for something so fundamental.
Caribbean, something so Caribbean.
Yeah. But as I said,
that's another
in response to that caller, we did go through a process. I mean, whether it was the correct way or
whatever. Correct process or not.
But there were 10 bids, you know, and there were 2 selected.
Good afternoon to you, caller.
Yeah, good afternoon. This is a good point. I'm wondering whether he's getting all this problem because, you know, as a Guyanese national, he's investing in Trinidad. And I'm wondering if the authorities felt that Mr. Chin, who is Guyanese, should not be investing this way in Trinidad. I'm wondering because there are so many samples of other projects like that throughout the country, going way back to 1983, I can tell you, of many projects that have been stalled, regardless of the money that was raised.
Okay.
And so on. And
let's ask Derek to respond to that.
Well, I was born in Guyana, but I'm a Trinidadian, and I played tennis for Trinidad, and I've done everything Trinidad. I call my horses Trini all over the world. So I'm very nationalistic, very patriotic to this country, and I want to see us move on, you know. But I don't believe, I'd have a problem with CARICOM. I mean, we need to build the Caribbean
and
as the best
is that,
team.
You know? Why should anyone have a problem with somebody who was born in Guyana or even came from Guyana yesterday? But we have no problem with somebody coming from Timbuktu and putting on and develop
Jamaica,
or China,
say it,
somewhere.
China,
right?
China,
you know?
China.
Good afternoon to you, caller. Go ahead. Good afternoon to you, caller.
Good afternoon, Mr. Fraser.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Good afternoon.
So the gentleman there, and I think it's Kaf.
Afro
Raymond, and the next gentleman,
Derek Chin,
Mr. Chin.
Hello.
You really have a great vision. I live in the Waterhole Cookerit area, and I have been living here for past 50 years, and I was born in St. James. I know the area of which you speak very well. Okay. What I'm thinking is this, just my thinking, eh? And Mr. Afra is your name?
Yes.
Afra,
sir?
Yeah.
You really, really is a bright person. And I want to congratulate you.
You have fans too, Afra.
You have certain, the way you put across certain questions and the way you answer questions, it informs me. To the Mr. Derek, I think your whole project started with a cloud with the governments that you dealt with. I think so, because if I am to understand what I was listening to, that it doesn't seem to me that this particular thing was published so others could have come in and interacted. Was it published?
It was published.
So everybody had a chance to come in?
Yes, it was published.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they did not come in?
No, people came in, but we felt the time was too short.
Yeah.
Time was too short.
Yes, yes. People did come in, let's be fair.
There were 10 proposals.
Right. I do hope that you could work something around what you are saying, but I tend to be leaning with the gentleman called Afra. There's certain things that he is saying that is piquing my interest, and I'm not agreeing with Tony Fraser, Mr. Fraser. I'm not agreeing when you say that the 5 years, you understand me, could come and then the monies could be moved. Yes, yes. But this Mr. Chin loves this country and he ain't going to let that get away. Take what I'm telling you.
Okay.
Because the years he fighting and he ain't let it get away. You think he won't let it get away? No. Now that he could see the promised land, there's only the objection of what you will call the government by asking and going and doing certain things. Now, may I say to you, so Mr. Chin, what about the environment? I was waiting to hear if you had anything to say there with the environment. Is there a concern there or anything like that?
Okay. Before Derek responds, thank you very much for the question and your observations.
Okay, I've been listening.
And let's allow Derek to respond. Environmental issue, very important point.
Yeah, that has always been a contention because there was always a feeling that it was mangrove there. Mm-hmm. And as you have heard, it's a reclamation. So anytime there's a bulldozer moving the bush that accumulates due to the type of soil we have there, which is many times just wild trees and bush, there's an issue raised about, we are destroying the mangrove. So I wanted to make that very clear. When it comes to environmental issues, we have to have an EMA approval for anything. We also try to maintain a clean environment. We try to ensure that we follow the standards. So there's a lot of consultancy. We have people who, help us along the lines with these kind of projects to ensure that we meet all the requirements, and even to the extent of right now we're going solar in certain areas to save on electricity and look at all the possibilities now that we're near the coast. You know, maybe we can actually do wind power because, you know, the cost of current is getting a little high.
Yeah.
So a lot of those things are all our future projects. You know, you'll see that we have spent a lot of time on research in talking to various people in this area to help
us. And of course, developers like that, if you don't look at the environmental issues, you will be inevitably working against yourself.
Exactly, because, last year or this year, we had a serious problem with the bushfire. Remember, containers popped up in that area next to us, which was the spectrum. The fires got out of hand, and the wind, and you don't know how to predict that. And six containers were burnt, you know.
Okay, we have another call on the line. Good afternoon to you.
Yeah. Yes. Good day. I have two questions. One for Alfred. One is what kind of timeline from end to end would you suggest for a project from the beginning, you know, for innovative projects? The criteria that you're calling 6 months, 2 years, 3 years. And the other question to Mr. Chen, I know you're talking about an innovative heritage site and local connected to local content. How much local content do you envision for something like this? Any consideration like using UE engineering students? You know, there are some guys there with some amazing ideas, you know, MIC. All those kind of concepts, you know, is it going to be chocolates, Cocoto chocolates, all that kind of, because it seems like that is something that you're envisioning, so I think it's going to be a high content of, high local content kind of thing.
Okay.
So,
all right.
The idea of all is
we're going to respond, we're going to get them to respond, because we really want to get as many calls as we possibly can. After a timeline.
Well, it is difficult to give a precise timeline. As at this moment in time, we still don't know what we're talking about. I mean, let's drill right down and hit the nail on the head. I've been to Movie Town. I've seen the Derek Chin video presentation about his proposals. I don't know how many square feet he's proposing. How many shops, the hotel he's proposing,
but
how many
still,
rooms.
Let's
so
start
give
from
a timeline for something, you don't know how long is a piece of string. To come precisely to answer
but
the
but
caller.
Not even, I don't think the caller is asking about Derek Chin's project. He's talking about your planning framework and determination.
Well, I'm coming to that. When we met Minister Tiwari in September 2011 to put our objections to him, and Minister Stephen Cadies was there, he asked the same thing. He said, well, what are you talking about? How much time do you want? Because we were asking him to withdraw the RFP and do the planning framework properly. So I'm coming to, and that was the question I was coming to answer.
Request for proposal.
He said, request for proposals, RFP. And he said, how much time you really want? How much time you really feel you need to do this? And I said, listen, if we take this off the table, and we appoint a small working party of 4 or 5 people, some from your side, some from our side, and we agree an RFP and an RFP process, we can actually have a situation where they start on site in 6 months, which is really what you're talking about. The planning process is the beginning before you start on site.
Planning, consultation.
Correct. He objected and said that couldn't work, and it died at that point.
It was too long, it was short.
He said it was too long. Mm-hmm. And here we are, how many years later?
And that is my point.
And
5 years after.
We said to him, listen, if we do this together as a collaboration, you put a small team, I put a small team, mm-hmm. we will complete an RFP process, and in 6 months' time, you could start. In the absence of objections, it will be a transparent process with consultation, with proper planning and so. So that answers your question.
And that really is my point. And to the last caller,
yeah.
that we cannot delay this project for years. If Afra is saying 6 months, 6 years have gone. Where are we going?
How fair would that be for another person to jump on and call it allies of the world?
Yeah.
And I felt I need to get, we already disclosed the plan in detail, and it would be unfair now to say, well, you go back and somebody copies the plan.
Local content.
Oh, tremendous amount so. I mean, we're talking about the streets of a street of Africa. Let the African people show from Trinidad what they're all about.
Afro-Trinidadians,
yes. The Indians, you know, one minister said, I want a TASA center to show, teach TASA and things like that. So, of course, it's about, I wanted to bring a farmer's market, bring produce from the farmers and do it in a proper way, display it, people could come and buy their fruits and the vegetables and do all these things to really
showcase. So it's not another Movie Town, selling cloths and film.
Nothing is wrong with Movie Town. Why are you criticizing Movie Town?
No, I'm not criticizing Movie Town. Let me make this clear. I am saying that Movie Town exists,
yes,
and that's fine, but we have to move on from there.
And as an entrepreneur, you don't repeat yourself.
Well, absolutely.
You move to different things.
I'm not against Movie Town, sir. Okay. Good afternoon to you, caller.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Yes.
Good afternoon. I am seeing a sort of a middle point between Mr. Raymond and Mr. Chin, which would be a happy medium for us all, if it can be ever reached. But the problem with Trinidad is we plan. We plan and we plan and we plan.
And we talk.
And while we're planning, nothing gets done, and whatever little gets done is essentially bad for infrastructural development. I mean, one case in point is look at our roads. Mr. Raymond, if you are driving westwards along the Churchill Roosevelt Highway in the vicinity of the St. Augustine Girls High School to that K. Donner Junction there, we paid somebody to pave that road. And when you're in the middle lane on a rainy day, you get splashed on your windscreen from the cars on the leftmost lane. I mean, we plan and we plan and we plan. We have our noses in the books and we get nothing done in this place. I am saying, gentlemen, let's get to that middle ground and get something done quick, like yesterday, because according to Mr. Fraser, oil is... Look, we are not even in control of the price of oil. OPEC has to stop oil production for the price. We just have to sit down here and wait. We're not doing anything. Let's get moving. Let's get... If Mr. Chin... I know what Mr. Chin is envisioning. It's like... I'm imagining it's sort of an Epcot Center. That street city world thing. I think it's a good idea. Either we do it or we don't. But the thing here is to let's get a move on and let's go past this nerd business of just sticking your head in a book and analyzing figures and numbers all the time and getting nothing done.
Okay. Thank you very much, caller.
Thank you.
Good afternoon to you, caller.
Yeah, good evening, Mr. Fraser, Mr. Mm-hmm. Chin, and Mr. Afferyman.
Mm-hmm.
I want to compliment you two gentlemen of really served the nation in your respective sphere of life, true professionals. It's my honor to speak to you, gentlemen. Mr. Raymond, I remember about 3 years ago, I read the JCC's website where you itemized the process that was used in the request for proposal for the Invaders Bay.
Yes.
And one of the points, if I remember vaguely, is that you stated that after the request for proposal was issued, the then Minister of Planning, Dr. Botiwari, issued the criteria that ought to have been issued simultaneously with the request for proposal.
Yes.
So that, in other words, what I understand from reading your website, Mr. Raymond, is that the ministry had placed the cart before the horse.
So
that the whole process was really flawed. Unfortunately for Mr. Derek Chen, who I believe somebody we ought to really honor and praise for his vision and so forth. But I believe that, unfortunately, that based on what you are saying, Mr. Raymond, in your website, that this whole process has to be start over from the beginning.
Absolutely.
And finally, I'm a bit perplexed that the Attorney General is going to the Privy Council on one of the basis which I read in the papers, that he said that the issue of cabinet secrecy has to be determined. Because I find it strange.
Hmm.
How can a ministry, which ought to be governed by the Central Tenders Board Act, because it is not a special purpose company as Unicut or NITCO,
yes,
when they flagrantly violate the law, how can the Attorney General have as a basis for going to the Privy Council the issue of cabinet secrecy, which to me does not really arise in a situation where a ministry like the Ministry of Planning flagrantly violates the law? I wish you could comment on that for me, Mr. Raymond. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Quick comment, Afra.
I don't know why the AG is taking that lawsuit. They were trying to defend the question of legal professional privilege, and that, in fact, is catered for by Section 35 of the Freedom of Information Act, which allows for a public interest test. The public interest test in this case clearly shows that the information should be published. You cannot, on the one hand, have information that shows that what the state was doing was correct and proper, and on the other hand, be insisting that in fact it can't be published because it would damage the public interest.
Yeah.
The two things don't fly. One of those things isn't true.
Yeah. And my point on that, and just let me get in this 30-second piece here, is that governments all over the world are being pushed to become more transparent.
Yes.
So how something on the fringe of government and the administration of the state, that is not a central, something that will... obstruct the state,
nothing like that,
you know, nonsense, pure nonsense. But that's another story. Good afternoon to you, Chris. Yes, good afternoon. I'm calling you, Chris. Hello.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yes, go ahead, quickly, please.
Okay, I'm calling to address the situation. And I'm hearing this visionary speaking, and it saddens me as a citizen of Trinidad and Tobago, right? I respect Mr. Chin and his vision. We spend money on stuff like the stadium in Turuba, like the hospital, for example, and what comes out of that is nothing. And we see this man who's willing to you know, spend money, invest in Trinidad and Tobago, and we're not giving them the opportunity. It's sad. It's okay. Really, really sad.
Thank you very much, caller. Let's move on to another caller. Good afternoon to you, caller.
Mr. Fraser, good afternoon to you, afternoon. Chris, Mr. Chin, and Mr. Raymond.
Hello.
I want to join with the gentleman who called 2 calls ago. I am myself baffled as to why the Attorney General will take this matter to the Privy Council. I thought that, I mean, in opposition, they had a different spin on it.
Of course.
And to me, transparency is key to the whole thing. But Mr. Raymond, perhaps you can enlighten me because I picked up the discussion pretty late.
Yes.
But is this the same site where Mr. Monroe had, and he had a lease that he was given for it, and he was thrown out of that site?
It's a different site. Let me just explain to you quickly the geography of the thing. You see, you know, when you're approaching Movie Town along the Audrey Jeffers Highway, on the left-hand side, the south, there's a big lot with a lot of cars that just came into the country.
When they wreck your car.
And they carry your car to be wrecked, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Not really, because I've not been home for a while.
Okay, maybe outside. But anyway, what I'm trying to say, the piece of land east of Movie Town is the parcel, what used to be called Spectrum. Sometimes it used to be called Mecca. Mecca or Spectrum, right?
Yeah.
And then after that is Movie Town. But people sometimes say, well, Chin is on, the piece that Monroe was on is not quite like that.
And in the back of Movie Town, going to the south, going to the sea, that's the piece of land.
That's the piece of land
we
discussed.
Reclaimed land that we're talking about.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much.
No problem.
You know, in the old days, Ryson Road stopped by, what was it? I think it was Petra Street or somewhere. There was a Wasser facility and there were dong trees in the back. As a little fella, that dates
because
me a little
donks.
Bit, you know.
Because of dongs.
Good afternoon to you, caller.
Hi, good afternoon to everyone in this studio.
Good day.
I think we should stop wasting time. Mr. Chin is a great developer. He have the money, he have the ideas, and he loves this country. And I think I love his plans, especially the streets of the world. Oh my gosh. You know, I can see the vision there. And I love Movie Town. Mr. Chin, you just have to put more security in the back. Okay,
I will.
yeah. You know, what about a month ago? The place was packed, and we went to park on that lot of land there, and it was dark like hell.
Yeah.
Good afternoon to you, caller.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Yes. Go ahead.
Let's join this discussion. So I don't really know everything what you all were discussing, but I am pretty sure nobody not putting all that money out of the goodness that they had. I'm sure Mr. Chenel is expecting some kind of return, right? And I feel if you have a problem, you cannot start something with a problem. Start from scratch and not just start over.
Okay. Thank you very much, caller. We're going to take two more quick calls, and then we're going to give both Derek and Afra an opportunity to wind up. Good afternoon to you, caller.
Good afternoon to Mr. Fraser. Mr. Derek Chin looks like the local Donald J. Trump, an entrepreneur businessman. Mr. Chin, this is a question to you. Why don't you consider running for the prime ministership of this country? Because Donald Trump shows us that the days of the career politician are over, you know.
Okay.
We have had enough of Rowley and Kamala in the same spin over and over.
Okay. Thank you very much. You. Final caller.
Question?
No,
yes. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Fraser.
Yes.
Hi, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
Yeah. You know, we have so much models to work with, as a small nation. Yet it is, we are always tied up in this long bureaucracy of back and forth. And I remember, for instance, that project where from France, England, Cottony Tunnel from France, England, where the politicians were in the background, and the professionals were the people at the forefront pushing this thing, the engineers, the architects, and they formulated this whole project and then seek financing, right? Too much time in trying to be go. I think we have too much involvement of the politicians. You understand? Making decisions for the professionals.
That's a Donald
I think
Trump
this is what causing this long, drawn-out
Okay, caller, thank you.
Change the paradigm or the purpose.
Yeah, okay, thank you very much, caller. We just got to go. So let me ask Derek to start off. Wind up your statement. Maybe I should ask you, what do you expect to happen now?
Well, first of all, Tony, thank you very much for the opportunity because, you know, I've been sitting, listening and reading and all the misinformation. And, yeah, it is a shame that, you know, that projects like this get caught up in all sorts of, whether it's the politics or the bureaucracy. And I think for me, you know, where I am today, the country, I think, is losing a wonderful opportunity. Whether we can still do it is still a question, because the resources have gone other places. But certainly, from my perspective, as I said, you know, I felt that this would be the sort of a project that would take this country to a different level. It will instill pride in the people, and I'm hoping that, you know, because of these programs and, of course, the wave of positiveness that I'm picking up from all the calls, that we can cause the government to maybe take a look at it again, have discussions. Certainly, we don't want to do anything out of the ordinary or have anything that has illegality. I've been a businessman here for almost, 40 years, and, you know, and I think that I've made my contributions, and my name is not involved in any corruption or anything like that, and I'm proud of that, because you have to leave your name and your legacy behind. And I hope Mr. Raymond would sort of understand what I am or what I'm trying to do. And, you know, whether it means I can get an extra place for a car park or something, some assistance along the route, I've never even given that.
Are you opposed to what AFRA is advocating, that we start over the process?
Well, I mean, I have nothing to hide, but I don't know. I mean, you're talking about the Streets of the World project. If somebody can come with something that's totally different and not a copycat, then so be it. But as I said, I've searched along and dig hard and spent 7 years. You know, I don't think there's a lot out there. I mean, IFCs and five-star hotels are not going to do it.
AFRA?
Okay, I wanted to say that in an overall sense, the present situation is unacceptable. We don't know, and I have never seen a map showing me even where Derek's 10.2 acres, the one that he was supposed to get, is, compared to where Jerry Joseph's 13 acres was supposed to be. Minister Imbert is now speaking about a large-scale project with the Chinese, with the International Financial Center and the hotel and the convention center. Where is that? How much land is that consuming? And I think this code of silence among our public officials has to stop, whether it is Camille Robinson-Regis, whether it is our present finance minister, Colin Imbert, whether it is Dr. Tiwari, whether it is Mr. Noel Garcia at UDCOT, that you are all public servants. That is our land. If that land is to be developed, it is to be developed for our collective good. And you need to put that information out there so the public could be informed. The second point I wish to make, in consonance with what Derek Chin was saying earlier on about the difficulties he went to raising the finance and getting the project right, we on the other side of the fence, those of us who speak to the public interest, and I consider myself one of them, we have to speak with equal diligence to the public interest. We want to get our figures right. We want to get the amount of land right. And we want to get our leases right. So that whatever we do, just like you, before you invest any money, you want to make sure you have the right rate of return. We, as a citizenry, the informed, enlightened citizenry of Trinidad and Tobago, we want to make sure we get the right rate of return for whatever we invest, be it land or be it cash. And those are the issues that the public officials that they have to speak out about. And those are the issues that I wish the JCC would stop being silent about. Thank you, Tony.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And we're going to continue this discussion next week. We want to get the previous planning minister and the present planning minister here. There was a problem today with the parliament sitting, and therefore they were not available. We also will be inviting the GCC to send a representative, send its president to talk about it, because I don't think that there is a difficult gap between what Derek is saying and what AFRA is saying, and I agree completely. My problem, it mustn't take 5 years again, because this thing going on forever. But so Chris, let's see your motion. Let's hear your motion.